It's that time again. Let's go pack show here, guys. Two guests, Juan Alvarez, Felicia Spencer. We're going all in UFC Vegas 32, Sanhagen, Dillashaw. I got some ideas and some theories on Islam and what's next. Guys, Bare Knuckle FC 19 this weekend, Paige VanZant in the main event. And our family is fighting this weekend. That's right, Taylor Starlin, Hannah Goldie, and the professor, John Radford. Guys, you pushed the right damn button. Let's go. Hello, world. What's up, everybody? Man, pack show, guys. Let's go. Let's get into it. Ideas, thoughts, theories, we're ready. The voice is a little off. We were commentating, just got back from Pensacola, Florida, Island Fight 68. Man, that was a great show. It was cool. I got a fun story at the end. We got some really cool stuff coming from it as well. We got the Fight Bananas looking for a scrap. I was commentating on the show with my guy, Brock Weaver. Humongous news coming out of that camp. We'll probably hit on that really soon. Guys, we might have a really, really big guest, probably 24, 36 hours. That should happen, and I want to drop it before the weekend. But like I said, packed show right now. We're going to get into it a little bit later towards the end. Juan Alvarez, I sit down with him. It was right before Island Fight 68, so I did time date stamp it. And we talk for 25 minutes. Talk about fatherhood, family, warriors, Spartans. We go all into it. It's not just a strictly MMA, knee bars and heel hooks. And we go into real shit, you know, real life stuff. I thought it was a really, really cool interview. Of course, our favorite, Felicia Spencer. She's going to give her phenomenal pick for UFC Vegas 32. And let's just kind of jump in there. I'm going to go right into it. So UFC Vegas 32 is this weekend, and it's actually a very, very stacked card. I love this card. Like, there's from top, from bottom, literally the first fight of the night. We'll get into that later as well. We got family fighting all weekend long. Hannah Goldie, our girl Hannah, we love talking to Hannah, guys, but there's so many fights. Ian Hynes, Randy Costa. How about Soriano, Brendan Allen? Are you kidding me? Macy Barber, Miranda Maverick? Like, just huge studs. The co-main event, Aspen Ladd, Macy. And then the main event of Corey Sanhagen versus TJ Dillashaw. A pivotal, pivotal fight in the bantamweight division. We would all assume the winner of this gets a title shot. You know, maybe at the end of this year. Maybe early 2022. But you would assume whoever wins this fight is next. Like Bill Goldberg would say. So, we've been killing on our Dave's action. My top bet of each card, two fights in a row. Misha Tate brought us a ton of cash last week. Tied to Tuivasa 2 weeks ago. And I am already here to declare my biggest bet on the card. And I literally might take all that money that Ty won me. I might take all that money that Misha Tate won me and go all in with Corey Sanhagen. Yeah, I'm that sure of it. I do this all the time. I kind of love looking at what they did and their past. Like, that's how you kind of learn what's going to happen in the future sometimes. And let's just go one at a time. The line's around that minus 175, 180. I've even seen it 160 and I've hit on it. But Sanhagen's last five. I love going to Tapology and you look at the last five, right? So Sanhagen's 14-2, age 29, just in his prime, just ready to roll. And we saw earlier this year, right, 2021, in that same building at the Apex, he defeated with that insane flying knee, Frank Egner. The answer, who has a lot of TJ Dillashaw qualities, right? Like, really smart, really high fight IQ, can throw the jab, you know, a good wrestling base. So that's a really good comparison. He's also with that wheel kick Marlon Moraes. And that was late October. So I got two huge wins. Great momentum going in against TJ Dillashaw. Of course, course, we all know he got rear naked choked by Aljamain Sterling very early in that round at UFC 250. And then in 2019, three more wins against top 10, top 15 guys. So 2019, I got three wins. 2020 at the end, I got the Marlon win. And 2021 earlier in Feb, I got the Frankie win. So last 2-3 years, 4-1, 5-1, I'm sorry. And the one loss is to the champion, Aljamain Sterling, who Corey was the really, really slight favorite in that, but was a Vegas favorite going into that fight. Then let me go to TJ Dillashaw, who's 16-4 lifetime, age 35. 2021, nothing. Okay. 2020, nothing. 2019 of January, a loss, a first-round loss, TKO to Henry Cejudo. And then 2018, 2017, one fight each, a win versus Cody, who Cody hasn't won a fight since. So just throw that out there. In the 2019 to 2021, like I said, Corey's got five wins, wins against Hall of Famers, finishes against Hall of Famers, and the last 3 years for TJ, one loss, one fight. I love Corey Sandhagen. I don't know how you cannot love Corey Sandhagen. I thought Corey should be a minus 250, minus 300 favorite. And you know how I feel. You don't have to bet on the main event. It's harder to bet on the main event because usually if you're the main event, you got two stud fighters and anything could happen in the fight game. But this fight, UFC Vegas 32, I'm telling you, take out the 401k. Take out the money that you're going to buy your baby girl the shoes and put it all on Corey Sandhagen. And let's double it up. So that's Dave's action right there with Corey Sandhagen. All right. So a day before, so that's Saturday. On Friday is Bare Knuckle FC 19 in Tampa, Florida. Stack car guys are... our family, again, Taylor Starlin, Britton Hart, Paige Van Zandt. There are three significant, vital, big, enormous female fights that can really make clarity on what's next. First, you know, the Bare Knuckle FC Women's Champion. And I can see Britton, Taylor, and Paige are all minus 210 to 260 favorites. They're all pretty heavy favorites. And I'm just going to go out on this limb right now. You know how I feel about Taylor and what she's been doing in the last 3-5 months. I know Paige is putting in that work. I've seen it firsthand. And Britton's, she's just pissed off that she's not the main event. I have a feeling that we could see one upset out of those three. Will it be Cassie Robb? Will it be Jenny Savage? Or will it be Rachel Ostovich? But I have a sneaky feeling that one out of those three could upset one of the big favorites at Bare Knuckle FC 19. So that's Friday night, guys. Stacked card for them. Make sure you hit that Bare Knuckle TV app. And, we're about to jump into the Juan Alvarez, but let me hit real quick on Islam Makhachev, who won the main event at last week's Vegas card that we were at Island Fight 68 commentary. So I had to come back home, watch it. Of course, our girl Misha Tate won a huge co-main event. Round one TKO. That was free money. Giving us free money there, Vegas. I love it. But what's next for Islam? So the lightweight rankings just came out, and he's a top five ranking. That came out of nowhere, right? Like he was just almost underranked, and now he's not overranked because I don't know who beats him in this division other than the Diamond. So I'm really intrigued to see who's next for him. And we threw it out there on all of my social media platforms at David Van Auken, Fight Bananas official as well. Guys, I can see it right now. I want to match make this one. How about Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker? Let's get this rolling. Dan Hooker's fought the who's who. Been in some extremely, extremely tough fights lately. Poirier and Chandler. And I think this would be a humongous step up for Islam. And I think he needs that top five, top seven name to really, then after that, it has to be a Chandler, a Gaethje, or Dustin. So that's what I would love to see. Not going into the details. It's been 5 days since that show. I just want to throw it out there. I think we're going to see an Islam versus Hooker. And I would love them to sneak Miesha Tate right in there with Holly Holm. All right, guys, let's go right into it right now. Let's go with Felicia Spencer's phenomenal pick for UFC Vegas 32.
We are back. We took a little vacation last week, but we're back. Felicia Spencer, phenomenal fighter pick. How you doing, Fee?
I'm doing good. I'm definitely recovering from my trip. You know, it takes a few days to, not, for me at least, not to be tired anymore.
It does. First, so how did it go? I saw you went out. It was like more like a Midwestern Colorado trip, right?
Yeah. Todd, Addy, and I went out to Landon in Denver and drove through Colorado, went around like the Four Corners. So
nice.
New Mexico, Utah, Arizona. I picked up my niece. She lives in New Mexico and brought her back to Florida. So she's with the grandparents now. And
nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, you know, the two girls got to meet for the first time. They hit it off. And it was a great trip. Definitely
That's
a lot of
amazing.
Fun to see, a lot of driving. I think Todd and I enjoyed the driving and the scenery a lot more than the little girls.
Like, you could bring, like, the girl, like, my kids too. Like, we just went to that mountain house in North Carolina. My wife and I loved it, but it's like, we brought them to Chuck E. Cheese like a week later. We spent, you know, 1/20th of the money, and I swear they had a better time. It was like, they thought they were having a Chuck E. Cheese.
It's all good experiences, though.
For sure. Well, very cool. Well, yeah, we didn't talk to you last week. We definitely missed you. I missed you at least. Crazy UFC 264 with Connor and Dustin. I would see if you want to hit on that. Last week, I thought it was awesome. I was all on Miesha Tate's return. We won a couple pennies betting on Miesha, so super pumped. And then this card stacked, UFC Vegas 32. So I didn't know if you had any feelings or thoughts or opinions from kind of the last 2 weeks of MMA.
Yeah, it feels like it was so long ago that Dustin and Connor fought. I mean, I don't know. It seems like the story about his ankle, like, shifted over the last couple weeks about, oh, well, now he did have an ankle injury, which I totally believe, you know. But why didn't they just say that in the beginning? You know, they were
right.
I don't know why it would have just broke out of nowhere. He's like, you could have just said that he had an ankle injury. It seems like everyone was already aware of it. I think it's, you know, it was a kind of a crazy thing that happened, but it makes sense that he kicked something and it, you know, started to break, and then just that little snap, you know, kind of
like. With that being said, and you're probably a perfect person to ask this, like, so if he had an ankle injury, foot injury, bad, I would assume, this is just from a normal person, like, if my right hand was broke, I'm not going to throw my right hand. Like, going into a fight, I would assume you don't go into a fight every fight 100%. Is there some things that's like, man, you know, my ribs are hurt, or I have an ankle problem, and you would try to veer to something else? It was just a little odd that he would go that way. Like, you would have a change of a game plan, right?
I guess it depends how bad he thought it was.
Okay.
And also, just, you know, once the adrenaline goes, you don't feel the injury really. So
yeah.
We probably just figured he would ignore it and it would be fine. Probably never would have thought that would happen, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely got in with broken or torn ligaments, broken things, especially my hands. Or I mean, it's never like 100%, like you said, but yeah, he probably just didn't expect it to escalate that quickly,
right?
That badly.
I feel like there's like that funny movie, like, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, cool. All right. UFC Vegas 32. I love this card. A really, really cool big main event with us kind of being in Florida. Like, a lot. Hannah Goldie's on the card. Her first fight in 22 months. Brandon Allen, Randy Costa, both Florida guys, kind of trained a lot. A lot of connective tissue. Four female fights. Really good co-main event with Aspen Ladd, Macy. So I'm intrigued. I think I might know where you go, but I'm super intrigued for your phenomenal pick for UFC Vegas 32.
All right. Well, I'll just start with the pick. You probably know, obviously, I'm going to pick Hannah Goldie. She's not an underdog in this one, but, you know, she's a friend and she's a monster, you know, so I'm happy to see her back in the cage and, you know, getting a chance to just show her skills, you know, and just go up the ranks. So Hannah Goldie, definitely the pick. I don't actually know the person that she's fighting. I looked her up a little bit. I didn't really hear her before. So I think Hannah's just, she's probably going to dominate the fight and, you know, take it wherever she wants it to go. So, but another fight that I'm really excited about is the co-main with Aspen and Macy. I actually So with Aspen, I was invited to go train with her a couple years ago, I think. So I was excited to have the option of going to train with her, and I never ended up going at the time, and then just COVID happened and this and that. So lots of things kept me, but I do still plan on going out there at some point.
She probably thinks she hates her now. Aspen goes, that Felicia Spencer didn't take me up on my offer. She hates me.
And then the funny thing is, I got also more recently invited to train with Macy. So it was like, well, I'm glad that I was like, well, unfortunately, I'm injured. You know, thanks. I'll hopefully take her up on her offer too, because I like them both so much. And yeah. I've actually fought Macy in the past as an amateur. I fought her. So yeah, I was like, well, I'm injured, and you know, so I can't really do anything for this camp, which I'm happy about, because I didn't want to train with Macy against Aspen and then be like, right, I still want to go train with you, Aspen, you know, so now I can train with both of them and there'll be no hard feelings. So good timing on my part. Whoever wins, I'll help them get ready for Amanda maybe, or, you know, maybe the timing will work out. Cause I feel like that fight will be like the next contender for Amanda.
Yeah. Really good. I didn't know you fought Macy as an amateur.
Yep. I fought her at 155, in Louisiana. It was my first out of state trip. My third amateur fight.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I feel like Aspen's kind of been on like this ascension. I think a lot of people know Aspen and everyone thinks one day she will fight for the title one day. But Macy's kind of came, you know, secretly, and, you know, I think it's shocking people. Her last performance was like incredible. I was like, whoa, if she fights like this, she's a major problem. And I'm really intrigued. I think Macy's like that plus 150 underdog. I thought you would maybe go that way because, you know, I know you like the underdog picks, and I know how much, you know, you train with Hannah and just being in Orlando and all that stuff. So I figured that. But yeah, like even in this fight, I think Macy's being underrated. You know, Aspen's a monster. She's really good, and she's a favorite for a reason. But I'm not overlooking Macy at all.
It's a tough fight. Yeah. And the Maverick fight is also one I'm interested in. I've met Maverick multiple times. You know, I actually visited her gym in Norfolk when I was there for my fight a couple years ago. And, you know, we met in Invicta. So I'm definitely rooting for her in this fight, too. So that's another one I'm interested in. Lots of great. For me, this is like a pay-per-view quality card. I don't know about everyone else.
Yeah, Maverick and Macy, Costa and Adrian. Probably the sleeper fight in the card is that Brandon Allen Puna Soriano fight. Like, those are two insane great middleweights, both young, both on the rise, one's undefeated. Yeah. And then of course the main event, like this kind of jump in with that, Corey Sandhagen, maybe the best bantamweight alive, lost to Aljamain Sterling in a weird submission. But I kind of talked about it earlier on the podcast, Fee, like the last 3 years, Corey's 5-1, fought, you know, insane great guys, knocked out main eventers. And then you just look at TJ in the last, you know, 3 years, has only fought once, has lost to Henry Cejudo, two wins before that against Corey Garbrandt, who hasn't won since those fights. Like, I don't know. Like, I really, really like Corey Sandhagen in this spot. And, you know, you can jump on it if you want to, or if you want to pass, I totally get it. How do you feel being a fighter? And then TJ got popped with the EPO, like heavy before the fight and after the fight. Are you kind of look back on it? Because that was such a big moment when he defeated Henry Burrell. Like, do you look back on that and be like, oh, I don't know? Or is it like, you know, it is what it is, and just hopefully TJ's moving forward and we're all just kind of past it?
Well, at this point, it's kind of like everyone just has to kind of – well, it's never going to go away, obviously. Yeah. I mean, he's done his time. You know, he came back. I don't know I don't really know if I feel like he was doing it prior to the Henry fight. Like, his reasoning was the weight cut more so to get to 25. So it seems like a sort of makes sense reasoning behind it being just for one fight. But there's always going to be that question. Like, what was he doing before, if he was willing to do it then? So, and he knows that's going to be the stigma of his career at this point. Yeah. So, but you know, at this point it's like kind of just – not give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's just, it is what it is. He's done his time and he's back in fighting. So, yep. You know, it's for him a really unfortunate situation, I'm sure, especially if it was just that one time and, you know, he got caught, but you know what you're doing when you do it. So.
Yeah. And it was like a heavy dose too. It wasn't like a little, it was like It was heavy. But do you have a slight a lean one way towards another? Do you feel good? I'm all in with Corey. Like, I really like – I just like – so much more active. I feel he's in his prime. He's just defeated. He's like – the momentum, when you get those major knockouts, and, you know, you can talk about it, like, have how he knocked out Frankie and how he's wheel-kicked Marlon Moraes. Like, those are just, you know, confidence builders for sure. And I think Corey's going to take advantage of this situation.
Yeah, I think Corey will be should be a favorite, and I think I would favor him winning for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we'll how TJ's head will be. You know, like I feel like he used to fight with maybe a lot of like not I don't want to say ego, but just like confidence, but feeling like you're untouchable. So I guess it's kind of ego. So I don't know if he'll still be kind of with that with all the stuff that's happened, but he might be coming in, you know, kind of with that same mentality, and that's a place to get you hurt with someone that is so long and rangy and like someone that you have, I don't know if he's really fought someone as rangy as Corey, you know,
no,
so not that I can think of. Even Garbrandt isn't that long. So, so yeah, it's, you know, I definitely favor Corey in this one. But you know, anything can happen. So you never
know. It is a fist fight. Anything can happen.
So TJ's definitely a skilled guy, you know, with or without the performance enhancers that he did that were on his record. You know, he still got skills and still dangerous. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we're back. It's peanut butter and jelly, spaghetti and meatball. We're right back into it. Felicia Spencer. Yeah, we definitely missed you last week, but you know, like I said, I was all in with Miesha Tate. I love Miesha Tate in the co-main event.
Yeah.
So we won a couple of pennies on her. Like we're all in with Corey Sandhagen this week. But I'm so pumped. I have a lot of my guy, John Rafford's fighting Saturday night, Combat Night, and Undisputed Promotions, Clash of the Titans. Hannah Goldie, Saturday morning, afternoon. Taylor Starlin's fighting that Bare Knuckle FC 19 Friday. It's a stressful weekend at the Van Alken House, Beats. Very stressful right now.
It's all going to be all right. Hopefully you go 4-0.
I cannot wait. Yeah. But Felicia Spencer's phenomenal pick, UFC Vegas 13, is Hannah Goldie. We're sticking the Orlando roots. Felicia, it was great talking to you. Great seeing you. Have you know, good times with the family for the rest of the summer, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Always love talking with the phenom, Felicia Spencer. All right, we're going to get back on that winning side. You know, Fee had two in a row. The Nico Price loss, you know, hey, it hurts, but we're back. We're definitely back. Real quick, how about a big shout out to Queen MMA? We have a giveaway right now. They have these Taylor Starlin, Killer B, fighting Friday for Bare Knuckle FC 19, a big fight versus Cassie Robb. They threw some cards our way, and we're just going to give them out to fans, followers, friends. Just all you have to do. You don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to like and touch and all the. You don't have to just go to 19 different pages. Just share an Instagram short, a story, or a Facebook story. Tag Queen MMA or tag myself or tag Fight Bananas. Just, you know, throw out a picture of Taylor. Throw out a picture of, you know, our logo, the Dave Van Alken Show, something of that nature. Just make it be known that you want a card, and we'll make it happen. We're gonna get you guys a card. So we got that working as well. All right, Juan's coming up in 5 minutes. Cannot wait. And let me get into something I really want to talk about. This is a stressful weekend here at the Van Alken House. The more and the longer you do something in any industry, if you want to become a teacher, a bank accountant, a MMA reporter. And the more you go into it, you create relationships and connections and friends. And if you teach at a school after 3, 4, 5 years, you know, I bet you some of those teachers, some of those colleagues become dinner companions. We go to the beach together, whatever the case may be, is right. You go to the movies, you watch Black Widow on Disney Plus, which was terrific, by the way. And it's not any different here. In the MMA world, like I said, Felicia, absolutely love Fee. Been talking with her for years. Juan's coming up in a second. Love that guy. I got him to the end. Him and Fidel, what they did, one of the greatest fights, the greatest fight I've ever seen live in person. I got those guys to the end. And there's three that I would declare my fight family that are going to war this weekend. And first is Friday night, Taylor Starling, Bare Knuckle FC 19. Been talking with Taylor for years. She was on the last podcast we put out, right? And that fight at Knuckle Mania absolutely stole the show. It was just this incredible moment. And I was so happy to be there live and covering the fights. I have that picture, to me, is so iconic. I'll post it right after this, probably with the episode. Just so happy to be there live. And everything I've seen, what she's went through, her kids and all of that nature. I'm just so pumped and excited for her. Then we transition into my wife's probably best friend in the MMA world, and that's Hannah Goldie. Hannah Goldie fights this Saturday, UFC Vegas 32. First fight on the card. And guys, this is big for her. Like, she's just had one of these wonky year and a half in COVID and pandemic and all of that nature. And same thing, back to, I was there at Island Fights 50. She main event. It was the first female main event for Island Fights. I was there live. Then 6 months later, she fought in the Contender Series 2019. I was there live. Her last two wins, I was there live. And then she took a short notice fight, really short notice fight, weight cut, all that nature. Hey, no excuses. Didn't get the job done in her UFC debut. But now this is 18, 20 months later. Three cancellations, COVID, injuries. She's been through it. And now it's time to put in all this work, all this grind. All the tools that she's been putting in that shed, the levels that she keeps on going up and up, it's all now. It's all right here. It's right in front of her. It's this Saturday afternoon. First fight in the card, and that card, you know, it's going to go quick. So she fights in the afternoon, and then my brother fights Saturday night, guys. John Raffer, anyone knows, has been listening to me for years now. Fight Ben Ass podcast, Dave Van Alken show. John Rafford's my guy. He's my brother. John Rafford at Pete White Boxing MMA. Great coach, great mind. We were just out there in Biloxi with him, with his protege, Chris Mixon, in the cage. It was just, we have incredible moments. He's been on the podcast, I would say, you know, upwards of 50 times. He's kind of the closest thing I have to a co-host would be John Rafford. Last 2 weeks ago, we did that incredible five-part miniseries on Conor and Dustin, UFC 264, the trilogy. So John Rafford, to me, man, we're family. And he has his professional boxing fight this Saturday night, Orlando, Florida, Clash of the Titans, Undisputed Promotions, a combat night. They mix, they smash together, and in one spot, one place, they have a boxing ring and a combatagon. And I'm so happy, pumped, excited, nervous, all nervous energy, all that put into one. With my brother, my family, John Rafford, getting into the boxing ring. I know how much this means to him, and I'm just so happy. So there you go. Like that, there's that connective tissue. Just, it's going to be a big weekend. It's going to be a fun, fun weekend. Guys, you got money on Corey Sandhagen, Bare Knuckle FC 19. Check out my man, my brother, John Rafford. Island Fight 68, I'm going to tell one funny, cool story afterwards, after this interview, right now, with the wild child, Juan Alvarez. Juan, what's good, man? You good?
Yes, sir. Just chilling, living another day in life.
I like that. I like that. All right, so I'm going to start off with like a fun story. I think it's a good story, all about you. And I'm up here all the time. Pensacola's my second home, right? And talking with Dean on the regular, Devin Adams making matches now for the amateurs, moving up. And like when I first started coming up here, it was Mike Davis. It was Mike Perry, UFC stars, you know, Jillian Savage Robertson. Me and Dean talked about it. I think it's 43 fighters in the last two and a half years that fought for Island Fights. UFC fighters, PFL, Bellator, big shit, right? So every single time your name comes up, every single time you're on a fight poster, every single time you're main eventing, they always say to me, we talk behind the scenes now, we're going to do the curtain. They're like, you know, Juan can beat them all. Like Juan's potential can be the biggest star, the biggest, best fighter we've ever had under that banner of Island Fights. So two parts. First of all, how does that make you feel? How does that hit you? And then second part is, the whole word, that potential, like when do you think it, like, is it good word? Is it a bad word? When is that potential you think going to be like, okay, I'm taking the game over. Like it's, I got it now. Like when is that potential becomes like not the curse of like the word potential, when it's like, oh, I am the best fighter right now. Mike Davis is great. I like Mike Davis. I seen him. He's got wins in the UFC, but right now I'm the guy. You know, when does that change?
It's an honor at the end of the day, you know, to hear these type of things, because at the end of the day, something positive, you know, it's more headed towards a positive way. I mean, really, there's nothing more than just being able to say that you're blessed when you hear things like that about yourself.
For sure.
So, yeah, I really do just, I'm really thankful for these people, and I'm glad that I have people like that that, you know, believe in me. Because at times I haven't believed in myself.
Right.
And I think that's where the potential problem comes into effect and stuff like that. I feel like sometimes I like doubted myself too many times. And it's just with a lot of things that goes with being a young father, young fighter. When you have to be like all about, you know, when you hear these things about these ex veterans through Island Fights and they're in the UFC and things like that, and then you hear you can beat them all. It's like, and you watch film and you watch these people, and these are people from, you know, my town that I got to see.
Right, right.
And then I hear, you know, you're gonna be better than these people. You got the potential and things like that. But I really do think it's the matter of, I know it's there. And I already believe I am the best, but it's the matter of when I can be committed more to this sport. Like, I know the diet part and the eating and this and that is a big commitment. Right. And yeah, for sure, I'm all about that. I'm all about, you know, my diet and stuff like that now. And, you know, that came with growth as well. That came with having a person that was on top of me. You know, I started this sport, I believe, right before I even graduated high school. I think I was still in high school. I was doing online. So, you know, I was dealing with all that and a newborn. So I feel like once I start putting my pieces together and I start growing into the man that I know I'm going to be, I feel like my potential is just going to be not a potential. It's going to be a, yeah, he is the best.
Yeah. No, that P word, like, it's funny. Like, I love it a lot. I like talking to him. I like, as much as I talk to almost every main event UFC fighter, but like still at the end of the day, it's like, I love the Island Fights. I love the regional scene. I love talking to people on the way up. It's just so much better. It's more rewarding. It's like, it's crazy to see them strive. I've seen Mike like 6 professional fights. Like, you know, there's probably 5 people in the world that can say I've seen Mike Davis fight that much. Cause like I was here when he was 2-0, 3-0 professional wise, you know. You like basketball?
Not really.
Not really?
Not really.
But, okay, so, like, when you were talking there, I don't know, it was so weird, it just hit me, and I'm just going to run with it. It reminded me of, like, LeBron James, right? Like, LeBron came in the league, he had that tattoo, the chosen one. Like, everyone's like, dude, he's next. Like, he is going to be the next Michael, the next Kobe. And he, like, couldn't get over that hump. Everyone saw his skills. Like, everyone saw how good he was, and it's like, those, he just couldn't win the championship. And then he went to Miami and he got like around some people to like, LeBron, you're the best. You're better than Dwayne Wade. You're better. Like Pat Riley's like, dude, he's better than Magic Johnson, but we'll kind of lead you. We'll guide you. But when that happened, LeBron took off and then won 2 championships in Miami, won that crazy championship in Cleveland. Now he's got 4. And it's weird. Like, yeah, you kind of just talking that through. I was like, you kind of remind me of LeBron James. Like, you're one of the absolute most talented fighters I've ever seen in the ring, like, period, point blank. And it's like, oh, when I dot the I's and cross the T's, you say committed, you say growth, like, that's life, like, that's real talk. And then a year from now, 2 years from now, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm unstoppable. Like, no one's going to touch me.
Every single fight, every fight that I've had, anybody can have excuses. They can,
sure. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Whatever. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, I've taken fights and I've said yes to fights, you know, at times that I wasn't mentally there. You know, I feel like a lot of my fights, I physically was there. Like, my training was there. But I think mentally I wasn't, you know. I had to get through a lot of things that wasn't good in a career for, I don't know, like a family career, you know,
MMA
career. If your family career, like if your family lifestyle is not good, your MMA career is not going to be good.
100%,
family is everything. So, you know, once I was able like to actually be stable and be in a good mindset,
right,
that actually made a breakthrough in my training as well.
Right.
Like I feel like I've been blessed now with the people that have been coming in my life, you know, with the team that I'm training with, Remedy. Like, I hear potential and I hear he's going to be the best, but I'm going to be the best coming from here. Like, I don't want to be that fighter that left, you know. I want to be the next Roy Jones of Pensacola,
right,
you know, in MMA. Like, I want to be the greatest of all times, but right, in MMA. So here, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing, but you know, if I got to do a camp and I got to go somewhere, yeah, that's fine. But I'm always going to come back to my town and I'm going to always, you know, push and promote. But the potential part, you know, it's still at the end of the day something motive. Like, it's a big motive to me. So I'm going to continue to hold that and go and just push through it.
No, that's real talk. I love that. All right, you mentioned a couple of times. I definitely wanted to bring this up so much. Like you said, family, dad, growing, all that stuff. Like, it's crazy when, you know, I see you, right, and, you know, other people or people come out to the shows and they see you and they just see you fighting, but, like, they never see that side of it. You know what I mean? Like, they never see – even for me, like, they're like, oh, Dave's here. Oh, it's good and everything. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to drive back home and then I'm in dad mode. Like, that's it. I'm just going to be a dad. Like, how, you know – And you got one on the way too, right? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Talk on that, like just about like having a kid already, having one on the way, and just like how mixing that life together, because it's sometimes being a fighter or being in the best at anything is so consuming, so lifetime consuming. But then it's like, oh no, like I got to be a dad. I got to be a, you know, a man, a husband, a good man. You know what I mean? With everything with that.
With. You know, I have my first son, Jeremiah. I only have two, but, you know, Jeremiah, the first one. When I first found out about him, I was just a junior in high school. So, Wow. You know, that was knowing that, you know, my dad passed away. My mom was dealing with cancer and, you know, me being in a different town, you know, because I just moved here from Miami. Everything's different. I still had a lot of things going on. And then finding out that I had a kid on the way, it was like nerve-wracking, but it made me, how do I say this? It made me want to grow up.
Right.
But you hear I say want to grow up.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to grow up. I did not grow up.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like that growing up part hits you fast. It just hits you out of nowhere. And it hit me as soon as he was born. I feel like I took my time and I was like, no, whatever. But when he was born that first day, something just like, you know, that I was like, that's my boy. You know, I was like, I'm young, but I'm going to continue to push forward. And, you know, I played multiple sports in high school, and I just, wrestling was just the thing that I was like, you know, I accomplished winning districts, you know, winning regionals and going to states in a matter of probably wrestling like no more than 4 months of experience, because I will only wrestle during the seasons because I play football and everything else. But, you know, that senior year came around.
What position you played?
Football.
Yeah.
I played running back and then I moved to linebacker.
I could see that. I was going to say that. I thought, I was like, man, I bet you it's running back or like outside linebacker. That was going to be my two picks.
Yeah, we played nickelback. You know, we always had an edge rusher and I loved it. But like I said, you know, I was getting looked at more in the fact of, I was getting looked at in wrestling, not in football. I was never able to finish playing football here because I will always get kicked out of school. I will always come back, get another opportunity, and I will continue to mess it up. I will get in another fight and things like that. But, you know, I had a lot of things going on as well, but fighting was always still in me.
Right.
So, you know, fighting was a motive, but with everything else that went behind it, I was like too aggressive with it, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Having my kid, and then from having my kid, I decided I'm going to stay in Pensacola, and then I passed on to wanting to be an MMA fighter. That made a big impact in my relationship at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, instead of me being a young kid with a kid and a baby mama or whatever, it was like I wasn't around because now I have to fully be involved at work. I still had to worry about graduating because I told myself I was going to graduate. And, you know, I graduated, but I had school to worry about at night. I had full-time job. I still had wrestling practice, you know. There was just a lot of things that were going together that was just too much to handle. And I feel like I did not have my full attention to my family. And I feel like that's what broke my relationship that I had with my first baby mama.
Right.
So, you know, having a kid and being a fighter, those are decisions that you truly have to be very aware of because it's going to be time consuming. It's going to be, it's going to be times where you're going to have to miss practice. You know, you don't, when you have a kid and they're sick, you got to go, you do that and stuff like that. But,
and vice versa. Like there's going to be times it's like the kid wants to go see Space Jam too. And it's like, son, like I got to get one. I got to get laps in. I got to get my cardio in, or I got to, like, we got a team practice at this time. And I need that work with seven other wrestlers, seven other beasts, Cam Bennett, whatever. Like, you need the work, and sometimes you're going to miss stuff. It's vice versa. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's definitely, like I said, there's been times that I've had to miss practice for a certain thing that's too important, and then there's been times to where I've had to miss important things, but where practice is more important at this time. Like, I got a championship fight. I got, you know, I got to make weight. I got whatever. So, you know, there's time that it's hard to balance all that. And especially, like I said, having to deal with school, having to deal with graduating, you know, having to deal with still having to go to work, things like that. That was just too much to handle. And especially being young, you know, I think that's what made it harder. I wasn't ready. But now, you know, as time went by, we split up and, you know, we went to court. You know, I had my custody. I have my custody now, and she has her custody. And, you know, now it's just a matter of, you know, me training and things like that. And then, boom, I get hit with this second one with, you know, my girlfriend that I've been with, you know, for about a year and a half now. And, you know, I can't regret things, and I can't make decisions that God just gives to you at those times.
Right.
All I can do is step up, and then finding out that it's a girl, I feel like I want him to be just like me. I want him to be motivated. I want him to be determined no matter what. And then my girl is like, man, now I have to protect her. Like,
you know,
the normal stuff, the normal dad stuff.
No, I got two boys and two girls, and it's like the same thing. It's so crazy. It's so true. It's like, man, I like fighting, and we like, you know, sports and basketball and rated R movies and shit. And then, like, with the girls, like, no, like, we're gonna do musicals over here. Like, I don't want them to, like, get into fighting, which, like, a lot of female fighters we know a lot from this area and all that. Like, it's great. Like, female MMA is on fire, but it's crazy. So that's funny. I actually had that, so I'll go there. I had something else, but then we just mentioned so much of the kids and fighting. Would you be like, okay, I even see some of your Instagram. It's a great page, guys. Make sure you go follow it. It's _wildchild_. I see your boy sometimes with you, like lifting just or on the mats or whatever. If he like came to you 3, 4, 5 years from now and you're in the UFC at that time and you got in there a couple fights and you know how hard it is, the grind, all that. And he comes to you and be like, dad, like, I want to be a fighter too. Would you 100% like, let's go, son. Like, let's go. Like, I kind of created this path. Like, we got a good team. Let's go to Remedy. You're going to work your ass off like I did. Like, you're going to keep on growing. Or it's like, no, son, like, let me do the fighting. Like, I'm going to provide. Like, let me do the fighting, you know, be a teacher, be a dentist, be something else. Like, try to, like, stay out of that path of, like, hardness and or hard work or that grind. Or, you know, would you do the other side?
You know, I believe in... Not that I believe, but I wish, or I don't wish either, but the movie 300,
yeah,
I love it. Yeah, I love that movie. I love the Spartan days. I love, you know, I love those days to where a man had to be a man. You're fighting to the death type things. But, you know, back then it was about kingdoms. It was about, I mean, if you know the new me, the king, the crown, it's just because I do believe that every person's last name is a legacy that, for sure, like, you're going to pass it on no matter what. That name's going to continue to go, you know, forward. So that Alvarez, my last name, is something that I passed down to, you know, mm-hmm, Jeremiah, my son. And if he tells me he wants to do something, I'm going to tell him, you best be the best. You best be the best.
Right.
Like, you're not doing something to just put your name out there and say, I did something. I want you to, whatever you put your mind into, to want to be the best.
Yeah, best running back, best teacher, best.
Best whatever.
Rapper, whatever. Like,
and
whatever
I
he wants to do.
100% support you. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. I don't care what you want to be. I will always support you just as long as you know that's what you want and you're going to be the best at that.
Love that. Love it. Two last things and then we'll roll, man. We usually don't date stamp it, but we are. We're on our way. We're about to head out to Island Fight 68. Can't wait. We're back at the Bay Center. Cam Bennett is in the main event. We're going to get – it's crazy. Can't wait. Commentating on it. We'll see Juan out there. Two last things. One is you mentioned fighting and you mentioned, like, different schools. Was it always, like, just say 5 years ago in that range or 6 years ago, was it, like, – fighting to like kind of fight like almost Kimbo Slice and Masvidal and stuff of that stuff, like more just like on the road, on the street? Is it fighting or was it like, were you already, you had your eye a little bit like UFC or boxing or Roy Jones in this area? Like, was it like, hey, like I do this, but like I can see me being a professional fighter one day? Or at that time in that mode where you're like, no, I'm just a fighter. Like, that's my heart. I'm a Spartan. I'm a warrior. I'm a gladiator. I don't care about pro shit. I don't care about lights. I don't care about Instagram. It was about, my heart. I'm a fighter. Like, was it more of that side?
It's definitely more of knowing that I'm a fighter. I really do believe I was meant to be. I feel like I was put on this world to make an impact in people's lives. Like, I feel like everything that I went through and I continue to go through and I've overcame, and it's going to continue to get harder because I know just life always gets harder some way, somehow. I feel like I was meant to break those things. Like, I really do feel like obstacles for me were meant to be broken. Like, there's so many things that I look at now that I want to be like, I just don't want to be a fighter. Like, I want to be more than a fighter. I want to do world-breaking rule things. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I like that adventure, you know, the hardest things you can find doing, accomplishing.
Right, right. I love it. I love that. All right, we're wrapping up with this. I think you know where I'm kind of going to go. So, same thing, man. In the last, especially like this post-pandemic or like in this last year, it's been crazy. I've been traveling so much. I've seen so many fights. Been out there with Dean, out there to Vegas, different states, all this. And now like the whole thing with Masvidal. Like, this thing has just taken off. Masvidal and Dean and the 850, they did the whole Game Bread fighting championship, the legitimate one. They did one, another one. They're about to make a huge major announcement. If you look on these boards in this room, you might see it. We'll see. But of course they did the Game Bread fights, like very on the street, very in the grass, just like this iconic how Masvidal came up. So before we get into that, and you know how much I feel about that fight, it was the absolute greatest fight I've ever seen in person. It's still to this day. Like, people asking about it, I'm like, I'm underselling it. Like, go see it. Like, I don't even want to give you any highlights. They deserve that money, wherever that's going to. Like, they got to pay for it to go see it. It's that good of a fight. But at Game Bread Fighting Championship, Masvidal's there. They see all these professionals. They see Jason Knight, who just signed the PFL. There's like four UFC fighters, everything. After the card, Masvidal's there, and he was cool the whole weekend. And he kind of like mentions it to Dean, and he like throws it out there. He's like, where's those two fighters? And like, it took us a second. And then he did. He mentioned the name Fidel. He's like, where's Fidel and who he's fighting? And right away, Dean at Devin Adams was like, Juan, right? He's like, yeah, they weren't here tonight. And like, I was like, damn, like, this is Jorge. He's got a million things going around. If you check out his Instagram, like, he's in a different country every 3 days. And he just saw 8 live fights, his first event he's ever put on. And then after the card, 10 minutes after the card, he asked, where is Fidel and where is Juan? Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, I don't know. Like, you when you think of that name, when you think of that person, you think UFC. Like,
yep.
His name, you think UFC. You think bare knuckle, you think Kimbo Slice days. And, you know, we're from the same city, Miami, you know, 305.
Right.
And so that name is something that I was pretty familiar with. Like, I've heard about, like, Kimbo Slice. Like, I'm in Miami hearing these names. Like, I was growing up watching these things on YouTube when YouTube was just, you know, starting to become something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did a project when I was, like, in the first grade about where do you see yourself. And everybody wants to be a football player. That was the first thing I put down. But, like, being a fighter was the second thing. So, and it was just because I was always fighting. And those are people that I watched growing up that I used to look up to. And I knew it wasn't good, but I still enjoyed it. I was like, man, he's, like, they get after it. Like, it's real. Yeah. Like, there's no consequences. They're just saying yes, yes. They get to it. And then I like that. Like, that's for me.
Yeah. And, so, like, are you, like, is it one of those things like, man, this is, like, Not like a hero or someone you just watched back in the day or someone that you look up to, like someone who's paved that way, and now, like, he's kind of, in a weird way, kind of like paid it back. Like, he's, I feel like, paved that way for you almost. Like, I feel like I still don't think your name, like, as that fight will keep growing. Like, I feel like a year from now, 2 years from now, that fight, and then as soon as, you know, both of you guys, as soon as you guys keep ascending, like, they're going to, like, that fight will always come back up. I swear, like, even Jorge was fighting Usman for the title, and they would show him walking that one walk. He, like, walks through the Miami to the backyard. Like, they always show that. Like, I feel like that your highlights from that fight at GameBreadFights.com will, like, follow you forever in a great way. Like, that thing was so iconic. Like, that thing is going to be, oh, you know, UFC 340, your co-main event, and it's like they're gonna show those highlights. Like, that thing's gonna follow you, I think, forever. It was, to me, it was that big. Like, do you feel that? Do you, like, now looking back, it's been 6 weeks, you're like, yeah, that was huge? Or is it still, maybe hasn't hit you as much?
It hasn't hit me. Okay. It hasn't, like I don't know, because I've seen fights. I think because it's myself, I don't have that, oh man. Like, if I was able to see, if I was there watching it as, like, you know, as an audience or something, I feel like, yeah, I would have been, like, all about it. But, you know, I watched some of the other ones, and they were great fights. They were all good fights.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I can see why they said, like, our fight's, like, one of the best fights they've ever seen. Because
Masvidal's still talking about it. Like, he's still talking about your fight.
I give Fidel, like, respect. Like, one thing for me is, like, I'm like, you don't have to fear me, I just want you to respect me,
right?
And, like, I respect him, because that fight wouldn't be what it is, you know, if it wasn't for him. And it wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for me. It makes two to, you know, make a real good fight. So I do feel like he's gonna be something special. He's gonna definitely make it. Like, he's definitely gonna make it. And I feel like both of us is gonna be something, like you said, it's going to follow us forever. And, you know, we both make it into the UFC, which I hope he does. I know I am.
Right.
Which, you know, when we're both out there, yeah, that's definitely going to be something that people are going to know us for the rest of our lives. So, yeah.
Man,
it still hasn't hit me, but it will.
I love it. Man, we're going to wrap it up right here. We got Island Fights people calling me and stuff. We'll get it. We'll do it this again. I said, like, we do. We're getting our studio. You saw it over there. We're getting it together. We just put that nice couch in there, but we're going to get desk, we're gonna get all these podcast tables. I can't wait to get it to be, like, suited up. It's gonna be nuts. But we're gonna get out, we're leaving right now, we're gonna head to Island Fight 68. I'll do like a recap show on that. But my man, appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, let's do it again. All right.
Yes, sir, for sure.
All right, thank you so much to the Wild Child, Juan Alvarez. Loved the interview, absolutely loved it. It's just so real. We connected about, you know, fatherhood and fighting. It wasn't just that generic-y, what's next for you in your fight career, Maddie? Like, that was just real talk. So, Juan, appreciate you, my man. Let's talk soon again. We'll go all in another hour live, hopefully, next time. All right, guys, we are rolling. Felicia Spencer picks Hannah Goldie. Dave Van Auken is all in. Corey Sanhagen, Bare Knuckle FC 19, do not miss it. Taylor Starlin's going to steal the show. Paige Van Zandt in the main event. My brother, the professor, this one's for you, dude. John Radford fighting Saturday night, Clash of the Titans in Orlando, Florida. Island Fight 68 was a wrap. Awesome commentary on it, me and Brock Weaver, the new millionaire superstar. We'll get into that next week. And last thing I want to say on Island Fight. So it was really cool. I had someone send me a picture I had to do, you know, a live open for the pay-per-view, and it was on the big screen. Pensacola Bay Center is a 10,000, 12,000 seat arena, huge jumbotron, brand new screens, all of it. And someone took a picture of me on that jumbo screen, and I just, you know, had that wave of gratitude, and just, it felt great. Not going to lie, just felt good, and where we started from where we're at right now. But I promise you one thing, Banana Heads, I do. We're not done. I'm not done. We're just getting started. I date stamped it. I put it on my social media platforms. That picture was awesome, and I love the Baby Center. But I will not stop until I'm on Madison Square Garden. The Jumbotron at MSG NYC. That's where I'm going. That's where my goals are. That's where my dreams and aspirations. So that's where I'm going to end up. All right, guys, make sure you download, subscribe. Keep on giving us those five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts. That means a lot. Thank you to both guests, Felicia Spencer, back from vacation, phenomenal pick. Juan Alvarez, appreciate you, my dude. All right, guys, so next time, enjoy the week. Bare Knuckle FC 19, UFC Vegas 32, Clash of the Titans. It's a big weekend, guys. I'm out. Stay blessed. Be safe.